Tonight's scripture comes from Psalm 129, a song of ascents. They have greatly oppressed me from my youth, let Israel say. They have greatly oppressed me from my youth, but they have not gained the victory over me. Plowmen have plowed my back and made their furrows long. But the Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked. May all who hate Zion be turned back in shame. May they be like grass on the roof, which withers before it can grow. A reaper cannot fill his hands with it, nor one who gathers fill his arms. May those who pass by not say to them, "The blessing of the Lord be on you." We bless you in the name of the Lord. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, God, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our end of the summer time of looking at these songs of ascent, songs that the people of God sang as they ascended, if you will, the hills of Jerusalem to go to the temple for the required feasts. And if you were here last week, you remember our psalmist was fed up, was walking to church, if you will, fed up, and brought that right into God's presence to lift his eyes to God, who is his help. So today, as we're going to church, if you will, the psalmist is reminding us of the oppression that he's been under since his youth, beaten down. The plowman, if you will, kind of digging these furrows right into his back. We think of like the scourging or the whip, just beaten down by his enemy. And he reminds us in the second half of the psalm, which we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on, but that those who set about living their life against God have nothing. It's like grass growing on a roof. It withers and dies before anybody can reap it. And just a reminder to us who live in a world of distractions where it's so easy to spend their whole life wrapped up in insignificant things. The reminder to invest ourselves, if you will, into the significant things of God, the eternal things of God, that we won't be like that grass on a roof that dies before anyone can reap it, but that God brings out of us this beautiful harvest of his fruit. I think even though he's talking about the enemies of God, it's a good reminder for us who live in this frantic world with everything grabbing our attention, where most people are so busy they don't even have time to breathe. I'm reminded to fix our eyes on what matters most. But what I really want to think about tonight is the psalmist who's kind of beat up and weary, who feels oppressed, who feels beaten down, who feels like his very back is cut open with the weight of the world, with the weight of his enemies. And again, I love to think about this as a going to church psalm, if you will, a song we sing when we're going to church, and it flies right in the face of our "how are you today," you know? Oh, fine. Everything's fine, you know, no matter what's going on in our lives. So what I love about the psalmist is they never wore church faces. They never played games. They never had a Pollyanna, rose-colored glasses outlook on life. They never tried to explain away doubt or fear or frustration or oppression, but they let it hang out in the place where it mattered most, in God's presence. I was oppressed from my youth. Let Israel say it again. He repeats it for emphasis. I was oppressed from my very youth. The plowman plowed over me, if you will. the world, my enemy, whatever it is, just knocked me right down and dug furrows in my back. I am beat up. And then one of the most beautiful words in Scripture, but. I'm beat up, I'm oppressed, I'm weary, I'm tired. My back is ripped open, if you will. But they did not gain the victory over me. Such powerful words. And the psalmist reminds himself that God is righteous. God is just. And what God does is he cuts the cords that bind up his people. I think again and again and again we need to hear this message. Again and again and again we need to be reminded, just like the Israelites need to be reminded, of exactly who God is. Because in the everyday battle of life, in the face of things that would distract us, that would discourage us, that would steal our joy, that would steal our hope, it is so easy to forget who God is. And sometimes we get tripped up into thinking that it's some sort of an equal battle between good and evil. And we're just holding our breath, hoping against hope that good will win. And that, my friends, is a lie from the pit of hell. Because it is not an equal battle between good and evil. Good wins out. God wins out. Love wins every single time to eternity. We need to remind ourselves again and again and again, because we live in a world that wants us to be afraid. We have an enemy who would love nothing more than to take our eyes off of God and put them on the circumstances of our life. I know what that's like, because I had that happen to me today. We've been praying for a while about what's going to happen with my grandchildren next year, because Katie's been feeling like they need something different as far as daycare. And all of a sudden, her babysitter is no longer able to babysit her, and she was able to save a place for them, this brand new daycare that has all sorts of amazing things that are going to be really, really good for them. But it is crazy expensive. It blows my mind what daycare costs. And my immediate reaction was, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. They're going to have to find another plan. They're going to have to figure out something else to do. And I let myself get all worked up and ruined a whole evening being stressed out. So finally I was able to get in a quiet place with God. And of all things, my scripture reading for the day was right out of Genesis, where Abraham is asked to sacrifice Isaac. And God provides a lamb, and he calls God this, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, the Lord will provide. And God reminded me, as I read again, about Hagar and Ishmael out in the wilderness, kicked out of Abraham's family, if you will, and God hears them. He hears their cries, and he sees them, and he renews his promise that even Ishmael, even the son who is not the son of the promise, God will make it to a mighty nation. And I was reminded how quickly I take my eyes off of the one who is able to do all things and put them on the circumstances that seem impossible. I don't know if that happens to you, but if it does, then you, like me, need to be reminded of who God is. As I read this psalm, I'm reminded of what Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians, when he says, we're hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. The enemy may throw a punch or two. He may tie us up in knots, But God will not let his children be destroyed. He's righteous, he's holy, he cuts the cords of the oppressed. We need to remember that. The psalmist said, they've oppressed me from my youth, but with God there is always a but. Things look dark and scary, but God is God and there is no other. The mountains may fall into the heart of the sea, but God remains the same forever, sovereign, holy, powerful. And so when the circumstances of our lives are down here, we need to hear God's but. It may look like everything's out of control, but I will not let anyone snatch you out of the palm of my hand. It may look like evil wins. It may look like death is the end. But as Paul reminds us, the victory is Jesus. It's his victory. And so, just as the psalmist remembers the but of God, we need to, too, let God speak those conjunctions into our faith, into our lives, into our desperate situations. It may be lost. It may look like everything's lost. And the enemy would love you to believe that. He would love you to be discouraged. He would love you to be fearful. He would love us to be worried and anxious. He would love us to be depressed. He would love us to have no hope and no joy. But that is not the end of the story. Because our God is not only a God of victory, but he is a God for whom nothing is impossible. Nothing is too hard for him. No matter what mountain we're facing, he is able to move it or to carry us over it. No matter what struggle is wrapping us up in knots and keeping us feeling oppressed and useless, he is able to cut those cords and set us free, because that's what Jesus came to do. He came to give sight to the blind. He came to preach freedom to the captive. He came to set the prisoner free. No matter what goes on in this crazy world, no matter what goes on in your messy life or your messy family or your messy job, God longs to speak his, but I am God. I have the victory into our lives. And we need to hear it again and again and again and again and again. It's part of why we gather together as the body of Christ, because we need to remind one another. We need to let the Holy Spirit remind us so that we're able to live the lives he longs for us to live. That even in the struggle, even in the hard times, even when we don't know if we can hold on, we know with our last breath, we can trust God, who will be faithful, who will be victorious. Evil does not win. God does. As I was thinking about this, I kept hearing one of the verses of Martin Luther's beautiful hymn that he kind of pulled out of Psalm 95, A Mighty Fortress. I think the tune does wonders to the word, so if you bear with me, I'm gonna share it with you, just this one verse. Just a reminder that my soul needs, that your soul may need too. And though this world with devils filled would threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word will fell him. And that word is Jesus. May all the glory be his. Amen.